Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
Welcome back to Taking Stock here on News Talk, and we're joined now by Trevor Donnellan, who is head of the Economics and Farm Surveys Department at Chagask. Trevor, you're very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Gavin.
First of all, we should say you've been surveying farmers across the country, and you find that average farm income went up to 25,700 roughly in 2020 versus 23,600 the year prior. So it's a decent increase, but it's still a pretty low figure.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pretty low figure. It is a decent increase in the context of what we thought things might look like in the spring of 2020 when COVID had hit, because at that stage we thought with restaurants, offices, factories closing, what have you, that there'd be a big fall off in demand for some of the important things that farmers produce, like dairy products and beef. But that didn't actually transpire in the end, because people more than made up with it in terms of what they were eating at home. But yeah, €25,000 is not a lot of money in this country, it has to be said. At the same time, that average figure hides an awful lot of variability, because dairy farmers' average incomes would be a good deal higher than that. And yeah, on the flip side, cattle and sheep farmers would be earning less, you know.
Before we get into the different categories, does it include both full-timers and part-timers? Is that part of the reason maybe why that figure is low?
Yes, it would. It would, you know. I mean, we don't really talk about part-time and full-time farmers in the sense of it being hard to kind of decide what the tipping point is between being part-time and full-time. But yeah, I mean, a considerable portion of farmers in this country would be part-time in the sense that they would also have another source of income coming into the household from, say, a non-farming source of employment. But equally, there are some farmers out there where their sole income is actually coming from agriculture.
What proportion would that be, Kevin? What proportion of these farms that you're looking at are wholly reliant on farm income?
Yeah, it's difficult enough figure to come at. I mean, roughly speaking, close to half of farms would have an off-farm income source, but it varies hugely across the farm systems. And when we're talking about an off-farm income source here, we're talking about an off-farm income source coming into the household. So it could be the farmer, his or herself, who has off-farm work, or it could be the spouse who might have the off-farm employment. So it varies an awful lot. The highest level of off-farm employment generally is found in the spouse on dairy farms. So typically that would be the wives of dairy farmers. That's just the reality of the situation. But close on half of beef farmers and sheep farmers would be working off-farm as well. Because income levels in those systems typically would be quite low, so you do need another source of income to make farming work, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned that dairy is the most lucrative, and I mean it really is by far. Looking at these figures, where you've got an average income of over 70,000 in that sector versus, you know, the figure for the total system is 25,700. So why is dairy the most lucrative?
Well, a couple of reasons, I guess. Number one, dairy farms just tend to be bigger in size, particularly compared to those beef and sheep farms I was talking to you about earlier. So dairy farms could be maybe a third larger just in terms of their area. So there's a bigger farm there. But the other principal reason is that producing milk from grass is actually a very profitable thing to do. And much more so than producing, we'll say, beef from grass. And it's grass-based production that we have in Ireland. Largely speaking, the animals are outdoors all the time, eating grass. In continental Europe, very often animals would be indoors quite a bit of the time, eating a mixture of grass and various crops that had been grown to specifically to feed those animals. But, you know, we're one of the best countries in the world really in terms of producing milk at low cost, basically. You know, the cost of producing milk from grass in Ireland means that the profit margin that is there is reasonably healthy for those guys. So they're doing quite well, and they've been doing quite well now for several years.
Forgive me, Trevor, for what might seem like a bit of a silly question. You can probably already tell that I'm not from a farming background myself, but one might assume part of the reason is if you're a beef farmer, you kind of have one go in terms of getting the beef out of the animal, whereas if you're a dairy farmer, well, you're getting milk out of the same animal for years.
Yeah, I mean, that there's an element of truth to that. I mean, you might consider that you know much about farming, but there is a lot of truth to that as well. I mean, dairy farmers have an income, we'll say, over about 10 months of the year, because they're milking cows for about 10 months of each year. So they're getting an income every month from the milk being produced by those cows. Beef farmers, on the other hand, they're producing a calf, and that calf then will take anything up to 2.5 years to be at the point where it's ready to become beef. So, you know, there is a significant difference there. I mean, the amount of output that is produced and sold off a dairy farm is a lot larger, allowing for the differences in farm size I talked about earlier. The amount of output produced on a dairy farm in value terms is a lot larger than what we produced on a typical beef farm. So they're systems that operate at different levels of intensity. You know, there's a lot more being produced on a dairy farm than we would see on a beef or sheep farm typically.
You split it out into different categories in this survey, as we've just been talking about, and we've mentioned dairy and we've mentioned beef, but probably what comes through as the second most lucrative is tillage. Just talk to me a bit about the dynamics there and how that sector in general is performing. Like, for example, did that sector grow in 2020 versus 2019?
No, I mean, the tillage sector is one that has experienced quite a bit of difficulty in Ireland. I mean, if we were having this conversation, Gavin, 20 years ago, we would be talking probably about dairy farmers and tillage farmers being in a more elite category, I guess, than the beef and sheep farmers. But what we've seen happen over the last 15 or 20 years is tillage farmers, treading water, while dairy farmers have moved ahead. So, you know, we're at the point now, really, where dairy farm incomes are about double what they are on tillage farms. And those farms, typically on average, would be around the same size, about 60 hectares of land on average.
So what's happened in tillage?
What's happened on tillage, I guess, is a few things. There haven't been the price increases over the years that we've seen on dairy farms. So dairy farmers have been getting more for their milk progressively over time, and we haven't seen that really happening on tillage farms. I suppose another factor is that the cost of production in tillage in Ireland are pretty substantial. We have fantastic yields. In other words, the amount of wheat or barley we produce per hectare in Ireland is amongst the highest you'll see globally, but it does cost a lot of money to produce those tillage crops. And like you know, if you go online there and you start looking at the size of some of these farms in other parts of the world, you see that some of these tillage farms in the US, Australia, Canada, South America, you know, they're really vast farms compared to the size of those farms in Ireland. So it's a sector that in some sense globally, you know, it does well with, you know, very large scale and thin margins. And what we have here in Ireland at the moment is, you know, modest scale, I suppose, and thin margins, you know. So tillage farmers wouldn't be making very much money at all were it not for the support payments they receive. And the same point could be made for our beef and sheep farmers. So they get money from the Common Agricultural Policy in Brussels to top up their incomes, you know.
Our guest here on News Talk is Trevor Donnellan, who is head of the Economics and Farm Surveys Department at Teagasc. Trevor, you know, we're talking about the various different categories of farm, but the reality, of course, is a lot of farms are mixed. So, for example, when you're talking about dairy farms' income in this discussion, does that include income they get from other activities as well? You know, maybe they, I don't know, maybe they do a bit of beef on the side.
Yeah, if you went back again 20 years ago, that might have been the story. But what we have seen over time is that dairy farms have become much more specialised. So if you went down to a dairy farm today, what you would find, generally speaking, is dairy cows and younger animals who will become dairy cows in the future. So there isn't really, to any extent like there used to be, an alternative enterprise on dairy farms. But what you would see all right is maybe if you went onto a tillage farm growing wheat or barley, that they might also have some beef animals. Or if you went onto a sheep farm, you might also find that they have a secondary enterprise which involved some beef animals as well. So the beef, sheep and tillage farms can tend to be that bit more mixed. But the dairy farms increasingly are quite specialised into just producing milk, basically.
There was some good news for Irish farmers last year on the cost side of things, the input costs. You might just outline what those pieces of assistance were, if you like, and whether they might be reversed this year and in subsequent years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can trace what happened in 2020 all the way back to, I suppose, additionally, what happened with oil prices. I'm sure your listeners will be well familiar with the collapse in oil prices that occurred when COVID kicked in last year. You know, you had this sudden dramatic drop in demand for oil, for particularly around the transport side and to a lesser extent, I guess, on the industrial side. So that, you know, oil has a tendency to move through the rest of the economy, whether it's an inflationary effect when oil prices are going up or a deflationary effect when prices are going down. So those lower oil prices fed through to lower natural gas prices, for example, and natural gas is used to produce fertilizers for agriculture. So you had a fall in fertilizer prices. And what you also had happening in 2020 was lower feed prices. You know, so even though our animals predominantly in Ireland eat grass or beef and dairy animals, they do get some feed as well from purchased feeds, and those prices went down as well. So those three items together, the feed, fertilizer and the oil price, which led obviously to lower diesel prices, all benefited farmers in Ireland.
And it's clear we might be looking at the opposite this year.
Exactly. As I was saying, that deflationary effect of lower oil prices in 2020 is unwinding in this year. So already this year, we've seen, you know, even you can see that when you go to fill your car, that the prices have increased substantially for fuel. Fertilizer prices have rebounded significantly. They're up more than 10% this year. And feed prices are a bit higher as well. So yeah, I mean, those gains last year from the farmer's perspective in terms of lower costs are being reversed this year. Having said that, on the output side, what farmers are selling, those prices have improved as well. So we'll be doing some analysis shortly to see what the outcome for 2021 is going to look like. But it could be that some of the higher output prices farmers are getting will offset the increase in costs that they're experiencing this year.
Certainly, we've seen an increase in the milk price. Do you expect the same perhaps for beef and for tillage as well, where there hasn't been the progress over the last 10 years, as you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I mean, the there has been a significant improvement in even this year now in milk prices, better than what we expected. In fact, beef prices are doing quite well also. It's harder to see what's behind that particular upward trend. You know, I'm sure part of it reflects kind of the beginnings of the reopening of economic activity, restaurants, and maybe people barbecuing quite a bit in this warm weather as well. That amazingly enough has a significant enough effect in the short term in terms of generating demand for meat, meats of all kind. tillage farmers is more difficult to call in that regard, because it tends to depend on what the global production volume looks like for the year, and it's still a little bit early to kind of say definitively what that will actually look like. So we'll have to wait a little bit longer, I guess, to see how exactly tillage farmers might do. Having said that, the harvest for tillage has just begun, and the conditions for harvesting this year, because of the dry weather conditions, are actually excellent. So that aspect alone will have put a smile on tillage farmers' faces at the moment.
Okay, so you've given us a very comprehensive overview, Trevor, of what's going on out there at the moment. And the next thing I want to ask you about is, what do you think is going to happen? Because when you see these figures, you can see, okay, things look good in dairy, but in the other sectors, one can only conclude there's a lot of these farms just aren't going to be around in 20 years. So, I mean, do you agree with that? And if so, or indeed if not, what can be done to just improve things?
Yeah, and again, you know, you're asking me, are they going to be around in 20 years' time? And somebody else might have been asking me that question 20 years ago, whether they'd be around today. And you know what? An awful lot of them still are. We've had very little change in the total number of farms in Ireland over the last 10 to 15 years. I suppose what we're seeing happening increasingly is that farming is something for many farmers that you do alongside another activity. Farmers in Ireland don't like selling land. You know, farmers tend to prefer to keep land in the family name. So getting out of agriculture is not something that farmers take lightly. So the idea that, you know, scaling up by farmers getting out and other farmers buying up land as a way of increasing incomes, that isn't necessarily the obvious direction things are likely to go in. I guess increasingly as well, what we'll see is farmers being paid money for protecting the environment, and more obviously so than they were in the past, and less pressure on small-scale beef and sheep farmers to produce more output. So, you know, the farmer as a custodian of the countryside is probably going to become a more important feature in the future. There's huge environmental pressures on agriculture in the aggregate now, coming from policy in Brussels under the Common Agricultural Policy and the European Green Deal, and here domestically at home as well with this low carbon bill that's going through the Oireachtas at the moment. So yeah, it'll probably be a more changed landscape over the next 20 years than what we saw over the 20 years just past.
Yeah, although from what you're saying there, you seem to be fairly optimistic. I mean, when you're referring to being a custodian of the environment, I assume you are thinking of things like the various forestry programs where farmers are being incentivized to plant forests on their land, and I have heard that is a nice source of income in some cases. But when you look at just the conversation around methane emissions, you know, obviously dairy cattle and beef cattle are coming in for scrutiny here. There's talk of culling the national herd. There's talk of lab-grown meat, of lab-grown milk, of, you know, almond milk, you know, these meat alternatives. It does seem, Trevor, that there's a lot of change coming at the sector from different angles, and it may well come out of it a bit smaller than it is now.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one to be sure about, Gavin. Sure, there are milk alternatives out there at the moment, but what we need to remember is that very little of the milk that's produced actually gets consumed internationally anyway, at least as drinking milk. You know, most of the milk that is produced in Europe, for example, is consumed as cheese. And it isn't as obvious that there is a technology right around the corner to produce some nice cheddar, or to produce some nice Italian cheeses, or whatever kind of fancy stuff you particularly want to put on your dinner table. So it's not as obvious that technology is going to dent demand for food produced in a more traditional type way, I guess. And that's just my thinking at the moment. I mean, Younger generations of people may have different ideas, and they may be quite happy to consume some of these plant-based burgers that are you're increasingly starting to see becoming available. But whether these things will remain a niche or become the mainstream kind of way that people consume that type of food, for want of a better term, remains to be seen. I think, you know, I think it's a hard one to be quite sure in terms of how it will develop.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the alternative burgers, if you want to call them that, some of them are pretty convincing, I have to say. But I haven't come across anything yet, Trevor, that matches up to Kerrygold. So I think that might be a challenging one. Okay, we leave it there. Trevor Donnellan, head of the Economics and Farm Surveys Department at Chagas. Thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Gavin.
Taking stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.